Blog Talk Radio.
God was at work in the 20th.
Hey, Brother Mike? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, brother, how you doing, man?
I'm all right.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
I haven't talked to you in a while. I'm just getting back. I'm moving. I'm sorry to break in on y'all, Steve, but I had to make an announcement. When you get off air, Mike, can I see you real quick? I need to get you up to base on what's going on. I've been dealing with some personal stuff. That's why you haven't heard from me. But if you got a minute, I can share with you and Steve after you get off air, if you don't mind, on YouTube.
Okay.
Okay. Pastor Steve, sorry about that, man. I couldn't get a hold of Mike no other way. I'm sorry about that.
That's no problem, man.
Yeah, when y'all get off, man, after we get off air, I should give y'all some information on what's going on with the ministry. I've been back and forth out of the country. I'll let y'all get started.
Okay.
Was in place. Many people died and never saw this day. So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever wanna act too high and mighty, cause tomorrow I can fall down on my face. So in everything, Lord, I give you praise. And I put a smile on my face. Lord, I thank you for sunshine. Thank you for rain. Thank you for joy.
go. All right, folks, good evening and praise the Lord, and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I'm Brother Mike, your host this evening and tonight. We thank you for your tuning in and listening to us here on Live Deliverance. We have Pastor Steve Lee live with us here, and he is going to be bringing forth a powerful teaching tonight. And the title of that teaching is 3 is the Number for Victory. Amen. So as always, I do encourage each and every person out there listening that is tuning in, please grab a notebook, a pen, or a pencil, whatever is nearby. That way you can jot down some notes and take away some key points from tonight's teaching. Now, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and turn the mic over to Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve, you have the mic.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us here tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and pray and get into the word for today. Father, I just thank you. I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place and this time because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me now. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men. You teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more as we walk in the Spirit, going from glory to glory, sojourning in the land of promise by the Spirit. Thank you, Father, that we'll go from faith to faith, for you made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, beloved, this week I've been kind of just looking at some scripture and thinking about some things, looking at how to get back to the basics. You know, I want to flow in victory all the time because the Word of God says that He always causes us a triumph. He gives us the victory. So then I expect to come out of trials quickly. I expect things to work together for my good. I don't expect things to work my nerve. I expect things to work together for my good. Because that's the promise. I would like to settle myself in the Word of God, because as I renew my mind, He said I would be able to prove what is good. I'll be able to prove what is acceptable. I'll be able to prove what is the perfect will of God. So then I'm looking at it from that standpoint almost always in my life. You know, I'm not the one that wants to murmur and complain and then by that cause God to be unable to work in my life, because as I believe, so be it unto me. So if I'm going to believe that frustration is my lot in life, then that's what's going to happen. See, I have to believe that with every trial, with every temptation, I have to believe that God is faithful, who will not suffer me to be tempted above that which I am able, and will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that I might be able to bear it. See, I have to put my heart in that position. And so as I was kind of doing that, you know, I was looking for someone to agree with me to cause the thing to move, and I looked at some things, some scriptures, and then God kind of breathed on them for me, and I came up with a new revelation that He gave me that I had never looked at before, and that is that 3 is our number for victory. And you say 3? Okay, yeah, let's dig into it and see. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, well, all the way through 28, actually. But this is a very familiar passage of scripture, and I want to go and visit it from what Bible scholars call the law of first mention, okay? And I've never really thought about it. I guess maybe I was trying to make sure that I had the upper hand. This is what he said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he male and female, created he them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So we see that God made us in his image. I want you to see, I hadn't looked at it from this aspect. I quote the scripture, but I hadn't dug into it in this regard. He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, let them have dominion. So then I started counting because I'm trying to get someone to agree with me. I remember most of the time I would say, I'm blessed. And I would say, I read the back of the book, and therefore I know I'm blessed. But here in the first chapter of the book, it says that God blessed them. And then he gave them commands. He gave them a dictate, okay? And I said, when I saw that, I said, well, I need to stop saying, because I read the back of the book, I need to go with the victory from the very beginning, from the onset. See, I say all the time, I'm not trying to get to victory. I start in victory. It doesn't do us any good to start trying to work from the middle to get to the end. If I start from the beginning, Jesus gave us a hint. I mean, we hear scriptures, and we don't see that there was more in it because I'm supposed to be able to live by every word. So when Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, I am the beginning and the end, I need to come into connection with him, into intimacy with him from the beginning. Yeah, I don't know why we wait till we can't stand it no more. That's that Popeye spirit. I've had all I can stand. I can stand no more. I don't know why we wait till we can't stand it to begin to then believe God. See, we can believe God from the very beginning as he has already sent a word to heal us. Okay. When he sent the word left heaven with the intent of delivering me, with the intent on healing me. Notice he did not wait to send the word to heal me or to deliver me till after I recognized that I was in trouble. He sent the word in the alpha of the thing, of the situation. He sent the word in the beginning of the situation. I remember hearing the words, it is finished, from Calvary. I wasn't even born then. So then my victory was already wrought in Christ Jesus. See? So me trying to find someone to agree with me, I need to have the right premise on that. Because, see, God gave me the victory, and I need to agree with him now. Yes, I have no issue with connecting with people, because we're going to visit that scripture in a minute. It's very interesting about getting someone in the earth to agree with me and walk with me and support the path that I'm walking on. I amen. But, see, if I'm going to start in the spirit, then I'll win by the Spirit. If I start in the natural, then I'm going to have to wait till I get an unction by the Spirit to move in the next dimension. See, beloved, again, he said he was going to make us in his image after his likeness. And then he said, just so that you get it, he said, let them have dominion. Three is our number for victory. God introduces his image and his likeness to the earth. And from these sources, we should glean dominion, fruitfulness, increase, and supply. That's what he told us when he made us. He said to them, he blessed them in verse 28 and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. Why? Because we were made in his image. Okay? And then I found out that God is a triune being. See, when I think about God and his image, I should think about him being a triune being, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. See, I should think about that all the time. So then my number for victory, I guess I could even say, starts with three. Because they were already on my side. He already blessed me. Okay? He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. He's already blessed me. The word bless also means empowered to prosper. So he's already given me a path that I can walk by, in, and through, and get victory because the victory is found there. Okay? I mean, it's really as simple as this. I don't really have to find victory. All I need to do is find him. Because in him, all of the promises of God are yes and amen in him to the glory of God by us. See? All of them. So then, because of that, I'm not trying to find victory. I'm walking victory out from the position that he said. Hebrews chapter 1 says that he's upholding all things by the word of his power. Because Jesus was made in the brightness and is the express image of his person. And then because of that, okay, see, just go there and see that. I hadn't even thought about that scripture. There it is. Hebrews chapter 1. Wow. Verse 3. That's just good. See, because I'm made in this image, okay? And I need to hear this. I just need to know this. Refresh this. Rehearse this over and over and over again. See, these are the steps that are preordained that I should walk in. This is the plain way that Jesus has made. All right, we'll start at verse 1 just to go into it. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, so that I should hear things from the Son himself, from the Word itself, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. So I was made so that the word of his power would be understood by me, walked out by me, and the things that I allow or don't allow, remember, whatever I bind on earth is bound, whatever I loose on earth is loose, I'm upholding all things by the word of his power. See, that's my witness. That's my agreement. That's my place of victory. So, and since we understand and contact God in three dimensions by three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the beginning of my victory, the number that begins my victory is three. Okay? Just kind of want you to think about that. It's absolutely, if you would, whenever the enemy comes to attack you, I already have him outnumbered because I have three already in agreement to cause victory in my life. the one devil that's coming against me does not compare to the three that are always on my side. Didn't Jesus say that he will never leave me nor forsake me? And because of that, then I will be able to boldly say that the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Okay? I mean, you see that that's right there in Hebrews. We there. Just go a couple of pages down. And you'll begin to see that. Go to chapter 13. See? You'll begin to see that God is wanting you to win because of a word that's sent to you. See? This is how he expects victory to be wrought. Verse 5. It says, let your lifestyle, your conversation, be without covetousness. Okay, wait a minute, y'all. See, he says, let your lifestyle, let your conversation be without covetousness. If I'm begging God for a thing, wouldn't that be a form of covetousness? Trying to get it because I see someone else with it. See, if I know that God has already given me the victory, then I can praise him as I go to the place of possession. Okay? I mean, we've got to align our heart with scripture, and sometimes we just align our heart with a desire, and that's good. I get that. But if I lined up with the scripture, let walk it out in the word. Okay? Jesus said things like this: I don't do anything except what I see the Father do. I don't say anything except what the Father says. See, I don't fashion my life after things that I see other than the Word. That would be probably a challenge for me, because I'm going to enter into areas of covetousness. Okay, he said, let your conversation be without covetousness. And he says, and be content with such things as you have. Okay, that does not mean do without. It says, understand what the inheritance is for you. Understand what things you have. See? And if you understand what things you have, then you can function correctly. Because you can live without covetousness. I'm not chasing a blessing. I'm finding the presence of God. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. See, a lot of times what we do is we try to chase things. A man's life does not consist of the things that he possesses. See? So I need to live without covetousness. I need to live in the place of contentment, knowing that the word sent to me was a word to deliver me. All right. He said that again. He sent his word to heal and to deliver. So since the word was sent to deliver, that means that if I find myself in a strait, in a hard place, there was already a word sent to deliver me. I need to hear that word so that I can then activate my deliverance. I'm not seeking my deliverance. I hear the word and I now activate my deliverance. It was sent, past tense. He's not sending his word to deliver me. He's already sent his word to deliver me. He daily loads me down with. See? He's already done that. That's why he asks us today, if you would hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't act like you don't have what he's already said is yours. Because when you operate from that position, that would be covetousness, wouldn't it? He says, don't let your lifestyle be one of covetousness. But be content with what you have. If you want to function in this life, it's best to function in this life by faith, That's what Paul said. He says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. See? So when you look at it from that perspective, I'm not trying to get something. I might be trying to activate what I already have. See, it would do us good to go back and rehearse the things that have been freely given unto us. See, as I rehearse that, okay, let's do this. Mm-hmm. Here is a rehearsal that we lived with in our life. We found out that we lived at an address, and then in order to understand all of the parameters of where we lived, we would go and recite our address over and over and over again. That was something that my mother did. She caused me to be able to know my address, caused me to be able to know my phone number, if you would, by heart. Why? Because they were training me that that is where my provision is. It was in that house. Okay? Everything that was legal for me to have, come on, y'all, everything that was legal to me for me to have was attached to that address, wasn't it? Amen. And so then if I understand where I'm supposed to be, I go back and I visit, I rehearse over and over again what God has given unto me. See, I rehearse it so that I am familiar with it, so I can sojourn in the land of promise, so I can walk in integrity in the land of the living. See, that's what we should do. So I don't wait till, this is good. I didn't wait till I got lost to try to find out what my address was. I worked and rehearsed on that over and over again so that if, for any reason, I was detached from that location, I could at least find my way back home by asking questions, by getting directions. I'm trying to get to this address. And everybody that was in that city could help me get back to where I'm supposed to be. That's the agreement that people help you with. They help you with what you already know is yours. They don't try to bring something into your life that you don't have, that you don't possess. He says, let your life be without conversation and be content with the things that you have. Understand what your inheritance is. Understand how to walk and live by faith. See? Glean that, because when you do that, then it becomes easy for you to approach your Father. Because before you can even pray, your Father knows what things you have need of. See? And that's why he tried to get us to have a concept that's different from begging God. Because when he told us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, he says, pray after this manner, approach God because he's your Father. Don't approach God as a butler. Approach him as a father. Approach him as holy. And I can't find a way to call God holy if I think that he's withholding something from me. Because he's the one that said in Psalms 84:11, I will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly, for those who are mature in their thinking, and they walk according to mature thoughts. They don't walk according to immature thoughts, incomplete thoughts, accusing me of not giving them everything that they would ever have need of. See, he doesn't want us to do that. He said, let your conversation, your lifestyle, be without covetousness. And because you are living now without covetousness, you can then be content with such things as you have because. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And because of that, so that, attach the scripture, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, so that we will have a bold conversation, so that we would boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. See? And then he says, this is the way you're supposed to think, remembering that Christ Jesus is the same, verse 8. This is the end of that conversation. This is the end of that lifestyle, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, I mean, when you have that, then because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then I have what I need prior to my asking, because he was making sure I had it yesterday. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not like I'm trying to coerce God, trick God into giving it to me today because he didn't want me to have it yesterday. No, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if I'm supposed to be with it, I should have it from yesterday. So I need to activate it and then walk in it because it was provided yesterday. Okay? That's how I function in faith, because now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It cannot be the substance of things hoped for if I'm trying to create it today. It has to be substance. It has to already have substance. Okay? It is. He didn't say faith will be the substance. He said faith is the substance. That's a yesterday experience. That's a past tense experience that I can activate now. So I'm trying to get you to understand how to function, because you've already been given the number of three is your victory. You have three that are on your side from Jump Street. See? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are already waiting for you to function in the revelation that he's bringing to you in an active state. Okay? So this is the image. He's upholding all things. He was made, again, back to verse 1 of verse 3 of chapter 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. Thank you. He was the express image of his person, and you are made in that same image. And then he says, because you are made in that image, you can function like this. You can uphold everything by the word of his power. Okay? I just want you to kind of see that. That's just where you are. Okay? Again, this is why it faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then I go and I rehearse the word of God over and over and over again. I don't try to go and manipulate the word of God. I don't handle the word of God deceitfully. I simply go and let the word of God speak to me, build me up. And now, brethren, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace. Okay? That is able to build you up and give you an inheritance as you are built up. When I go to the word then builds me up, causes me to think accurately, causes me to see accurately. See? And as I speak from that position, I am now upholding what he has already given me. I am now affirming what he has already said to me. I'm speaking out of my spirit, and as I speak out of my spirit, that is a word that can be established. See? That's the way I would like for you to frame your heart, frame your thinking from there. See, I'm not trying to just get God to do it because it's something that I want or something that I need. No, I find out what is mine by inheritance, and then I uphold that. See? I put his word in my mouth. I speak his word over and over and over again. See, I speak it because the first time I see a promise, I might not possess the faith actively to bring that promise into manifestation. But I keep saying that. I keep rehearsing that. I keep allowing the Spirit of God to grow me up in that one word. I ask the Holy Spirit to bring me life from that word, and I find out how to live in it. See? Because I'm supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See? So then I say it because he said it. I believe it because he said it. I believe it because I say it. I get the agreement there. See, because when I do that, I'm activating spiritual principles. In 1 John chapter 5, again, just trying to get these kind of principles in your heart so that you would just say, okay, yeah, I don't have much choice to victory but to walk in this right here. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Because 3 is the beginning number for our victory. Our victory starts with the number 3. Okay? And that number 3 is because we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's see what he says there in verse 7 of chapter 5 in 1 John. It says, I'm going to just read from verse 1 on down. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So there is your image right there. That's where you were recreated in his image, right there. You're born of God. Come on, y'all. I mean, just you're born of God. That means you have an inheritance, doesn't it? And everyone that loveth him begot him that begatteth loveth him also that is begot of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. When we love God and keep his commandments. When we love God, believe what he said, do what he said. So then if I don't find a place where God says you're supposed to be in love. Otherwise, you'd have to take Philippians, the 4th chapter, and remove it. Because my God is going to supply all your need, all your need. He's going to supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So that tells me I cannot be in lack. I've not been developed, but I'm not in lack. I have what I need. I just have not developed it. I have not activated it. Therefore, I cannot access it. So if I would hear the word, he's going to supply all of my need because there are riches in glory, not lack in the earth. See, I just have to reframe my thinking. See, this is what I rehearse over and over and over and over. Because I'm saying, God, this is what you said. So because you said it, I am coming to the place where I believe that with my whole heart, that I am fully persuaded. See, a lot of times, like I said, when you hear the promise the first time, you might not be fully persuaded. You might like it a lot, but you're not yet fully persuaded. Because when you're fully persuaded, you activate Mark 11:22 and forward. That if I would say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and am fully persuaded and do not doubt in my heart that the thing that I say will come to pass, I shall have whatsoever I say. See, I'm rehearsing the word of God from different aspects and avenues. Because all of the word of God, I'm supposed to live by every word. They are all connected. My life is hid in him. It's hid in the word. See? By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this He is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Why? Because if I think that his commandment is grievous, then I'm not approaching him as love, am I? He said that I have to first look at what he just said. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. You cannot love and accuse at the same time, beloved. Because in him is no darkness at all. So you can't accuse God and say, well, God, you kept me from, that's accusing God. When I love God, I simply now keep his commandments. I grow in his word. His commandments are not grievous. For, because of this, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And the Spirit bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. 4, verse 7, this is what I was trying to get to. But you see, all of verse 7 is built upon the truths in verse 1. So I'm not just trying to go pick, cherry pick a verse and stay with the cherry pick verse. No, I need to understand what was the construct of the verse so that I can then walk in total truth. That's what he said in 3 John 2. He says, beloved, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health. I have no greater joy. See, it didn't say you walk in a fragment of the truth. Just flip over. You was in third. Go to 2 John. See, this is what we have to get to the place where we get it. And understanding. That God is wanting us to function and walk in truth. So in 3 John verse 2, I just quoted it, but I want you to see it. It says, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. For I greatly rejoiced when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, that thou walkest in the truth. Verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. See, he wants you to do this. Be established in it. Walk in it. Sojourn in the land of promise. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he? Verse chapter 5 again. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it's the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And the three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. That was important to know, because every word of God is supported by the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. These three agree as one. These three are always walking with the Word of God being able to work in your life any day, all day. So then here are some of the things that he says about you, beloved. I was going to go there. But he said that nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus said that in Luke chapter 10. See, so then since he said that, that means nothing shall by any means hurt you. See, and so then the Spirit and the Father is backing that word up. So then when you're going through something, have an understanding that this too shall pass. Because nothing shall by any means hurt you. All right. I was going to get there last, but turn to Luke 10:17, so that you can see this. See, these are just things that when you gather them into your spirit and walk because of the truth of the word, yeah, you become invincible. You get to actually look at the devil and say, what? You can't stop nothing here. We're going to get to 17. Again, I want to build it up. Wow. See, I was looking for agreement. That's how this whole thing started. I was looking for agreement, not knowing that 3 is the number of my victories, the starting place of my victory. Okay? And it says that in chapter 10, verse 1, it says, after this thing, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them out 2 by 2 before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. So then, because he had already purposed in his heart to go there, he's given you a permission to walk in his victory that he's already received from the Lord. He's going to come to those cities. And when he comes to those cities, he's going to have peace be established in those cities. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. He's going to reestablish that. He's the Prince of Peace. And the government of his kingdom will be no end. See, he establishes peace. That's why he calls you to walk in, function in, live in peace. And my people shall dwell in peaceable habitations, in sure dwelling places. See, he wants you to be established in peace. So he's sending you out, and because he's going to come to that same city, he is establishing, well, let's just read it. Yeah. Where he self would go. Therefore he said to them, the harvest is truly great, and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. He didn't send you without victory. He sent you with the victory. And he's telling you, you're going to have issues, but it's okay. That's the same thing he said in John. He said in John chapter 16, he said, in the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I send you forth as lambs among wolves, but don't worry about it. I got you. There is a word that has already been spoken over you. There is agreement that has already happened for your life. Carry neither script, personal script, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter first, say, peace be to this house. He's giving you peace from Jump Street. I send you forth as lambs among wolves. I sent you forth with peace that you need to activate. Say, peace be unto this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon you. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house, remain, eating and drinking such things as they give you. For the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you go, if they receive you and eat such things as they said before you. And because I've sent you with peace, I sent you with purpose. I sent you with a mission. Heal the sick that are therein. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But whatsoever city you enter and they do not receive you, go your ways into the street of the same and say, even as the dust, the very dust of your city which cleaveth unto us, we wipe off against you, notwithstanding. Be sure of this, that the kingdom is come nigh unto you. Just so much power. He said, tell them to be sure that the visitation has happened, that what you have been looking for has come. We are couriers of that same peace, of that same victory. But I say unto you, it will be more tolerable on the day of Sodom for that city Woe to Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works have been done in Tyre and Sidon, which were done in you, they had great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for the day, for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, thou shalt be thrust down to hell. And he that heareth you heareth me. I just love that. He that heareth you heareth me. I'm not just preaching because I like to be heard. I want you to hear Jesus. He that despises you despises me. He that despises me despises he that sent me. And then when the 70 returns with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. And Jesus said, well, let me tell you something. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the, not some of the power, and all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather that rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And then he goes on to reveal a lot of things to them. I was just trying to get you to see that the agreement for your life was made prior to you even leaving to go do the work of the Lord. It was there when Jesus said it's finished, you had power and victory. Okay? I want you to know that the number of your victory doesn't start with the one, you. It started with the three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? So God wants you to get in the earth. He said these three agree in the earth. The Father, who is the Supreme Spirit. The water, which represents the Holy Ghost. And the power to get things done in the earth. And the blood, which represents the life connection between the spirit and humanity. That cleansing flow that renews and converts the spirit, the soul, and the mind. The spirit, the soul, and the flesh. Because Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Okay? And I want you to just know, it's like some refreshing, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Matthew chapter 18. Hope you're getting something out of this. Matthew chapter 18. And this was where we got the scripture where we were looking for agreement. And I got that, but I saw something today I've never seen before. And he says, 18, he says, verily I say unto you, that whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, moreover, I say that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of the Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And see, I saw this for the first time. He said that where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst. So if Jesus is there, the Father is there, and the Holy Spirit is there. So really, we just had a number of any two that agree as touching, we just had the number of five, which is the number of grace. Because the two touching on earth, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is now five, the number of grace. The number that empowers you to get done what you couldn't do by yourself. See? And then it was very interesting to me to see it the way that it was worded. It says that if any two agree, then the thing is going to be done for them of the Father. It didn't say it will be done by them. That lets me know that my victory starts with the number three. Because Jesus said, if I get two together, I'm there. He just made us understand that the Father is there in that place of agreement. Two agree as touching. Jesus is there in the midst. The Father is there in the midst. And since these three always agree as one, we can easily say with great affirmation that the Holy Spirit, the power to get it done, is also there. See? And then we're going to look at that. I just want you to kind of, you write that down and remember that, because what we're getting is two is the number of agreement, and it's required, but it employs three. Okay, just so that you get that, okay? He said, if any two agree, I'm going to be there. The Father going to be there, and the Spirit will be there. So the two that's necessary for, that's required for agreement, employs three more, giving us the number of five, the number of grace. Okay? And then it was a scripture that we quote all the time. Go to Ecclesiastes. This is the one that really, I said, what? Where did that come from? you know chapter 4. I want you to just allow God to show you some things. Okay? This is his word. All I'm going to do is say his word. That's all I'm going to do. Okay? Let's read this. Start at 4. Verse 9 and following. Again, these are the scriptures that people have always given us to cause unity to be the thing. And it is. But listen to what it says. Two are better than one because they have a reward, a good reward for their labor. Four, if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And then listen at the scripture I had never heard before. He says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Wait a minute. He said two is better than one. The number he referenced is what? Two. The second time he referenced the number, he referenced two. For if one fall, the other will lift him up. The one will lift him up. That's two. Then he says, well, if one is alone, he don't have another to help him. And again, if two, they will have heat. But one cannot warm alone. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. Wait a minute. Where did he get the third one from? The number that he was referencing was always two is better than one. Correct. So I end up with a number of two. That's what I thought for agreement. If any two be agree on earth is touching, then they will have what they say. Wait a minute. I didn't see that the agreement employs three. He just said a threefold cord is not quickly broken. He only brought two into play. Where did the third one come from? Read what you read. Every number before was talking about two and one. Then he said, two can withstand the one that comes against him. And he says, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Wow. Three is the number for our victory. See, because Jesus said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. So then we activate the presence of God, which means we activate the presence of three. Glory to God. That's why he told the prophet, there'll be more that be with us than that be against us. There'll be more that be with us than be with them. Because we start with an increase of three, minimally, when we just get two to agree. I mean, even without the agreement, you still have four. Because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are never separated. The only time we can find in history that there was a separation was because there was a purpose to bring us back so that we can then fellowship in that same calling, in that same unity. That's why Jesus said, "Why have you forsaken me?" Because it was a request that I'll go and save them. That's the only time in history that we can have an account where Jesus, the Father, and the Spirit were not always together. But then at the place of reunitement, that's always now, because they will never be separate. These three agree as one. So I just wanted you to know from Scripture a different view, because God has guaranteed your victory, sealed it by his presence. Because a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So I'm just trying to get you to see from Scripture how we're supposed to think about whatever it is we're going through. We're not going through anything by ourselves. I'll not leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, your conversation, you will boldly say, "The Lord is on my side. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me." Go back and see something else. I want you to watch this one. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Just some very interesting things. See, because God's math system is different than our math system. First of all, God multiplies. Isn't that what he told his man to do that was made in his image? He told his man to go to a... that's so good, sir. He told his man to participate in a different math system. He blessed them and told them, now multiply. Glory to God. He told the man, because of what I'm doing in your life, you have exponential power. Glory to God. You don't have to start trying to add. You can multiply. You're made in his image. Deuteronomy chapter 32. I want you to look at this. This whole passage in verse 1, we're going to get to 29. In verse 1, he asks us to do something. He says, "Give ear, pay attention, O heavens. I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." So he wanted us to pay attention to something. "My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as dew, as a small rain upon the tender herbs and the showers upon the grass." Okay? So he wants us to know he's speaking. Then he starts telling them about how backwards their thinking has been, how backwards their understanding has been, how unprofitable their position of heart has been. Okay? So he's getting us, he wants us to hear because of this. He says, "Because I will punish the name, I will publish the name of the Lord and ascribe greatness unto our God. He is our rock." That's a good one. Remember that phrase. "He is our rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is he." And he says, "Now y'all have corrupted yourselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse and crooked in their generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O ye foolish people and unwise? Not he the Father that has brought thee and not made thee and established thee?" He's asking these questions so that he can bring you to a place of resolution. he said, for the Lord is his portion, verse 9, of his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in the desert land, in the waste, howling and howling wilderness. And he led him about and instructed him. And he kept him as the apple of his eye. Glory to God. I just want you to know this out. God wants you to understand this is his love. It's just so much good stuff here. I don't have the time to get into it. As the eagle stirreth her nest, fluttering her young, or her young, spreadeth abroad his wings, her wings, taking them, and beareth them up in her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, when there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of the sheep with the fat of lambs and rams and the breed of Bashan and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat did thou drink pure blood of the grape. Then he starts again telling them, but y'all didn't want to do this. Y'all lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. You provoked him to jealousy with other gods. They sacrificed unto devils that knew devils, not to God, the gods whom they knew not. New gods that came up, wow, like that, that newly came up. Woo, that's just interesting. Of the rock that begat thee, you are unmindful. Thou hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw thee, abhorred thee, and because of provoking his sons and of his daughters. And then he said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end shall be. For they are very poor generation. Children in whom there is no faith. They have moved from me to jealousy. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me with anger, with their vanities. I will move them to jealousy with those that are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Then he goes on to say in verse 29, this is all trying to build up to this. And he said, oh, that they were wise, that they would understand this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not our rock, even our enemies themselves being judged. So he says that we did things and went to a place that we thought was going to be solid and secure, but that was not the rock of our salvation. And he says, consider this. How can one set 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except there was a third party in there working it out for your good? Except God had sold the enemies and had decided he's going to bring victory in your life. Okay? I want you to see how the math of God works exponentially. 1,000, 2, 10,000. That's exponential. Flip over to Leviticus chapter 26. Just some interesting things I just want you to see. See, in 1 through 9, study it, okay? Just go through it and read 1 through 9. Because he's telling them again, don't make no idol gods, no graven images. Don't do that. I am the Lord your God. And he says, you will keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary because I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do this, I will give you rain in due season. And the land shall yield their increase. The trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach into the vintage. And the vintage shall reach into the sowing time, taking care of every day for you. And to the full, and dwell in your, you shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before the sword. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you should put 10,000 to flight. He's doing exponential math again. I just want you to see that. See, because there, when you get into this place where you start your victory with the three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, it becomes exponential in what you can produce. You become one that enters into the multiplication of God, not just into the sweat equity that you provide. So I just wanted you to see that three is the beginning number of your victory. He wants you to be able to enjoy good at his hand. He will rid the land of evil beasts. He will cause peace to be in your land. You'll be able to eat your bread to the full. Your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in the land safely. Three is the number that begins your victory. I want you to begin to expand your thoughts from there. Don't go after God because of a limitation that you have seen, because he knows how to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits and no restraints. If he can just get you to walk before him and remove idols, false gods, a rock that isn't a rock of your salvation, then you will be able to enjoy the presence of God. You will be able to enjoy the life that he has purchased for you so that you can enjoy it to the full. But it's your choice. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just bless you and we thank you for opening up your treasure, your word that gives us an inheritance, your word that builds us up. Thank you for allowing us by your spirit to enter into sojourn in the land of promise so that we can walk away with victory that you brought us by your word, your spirit, being our Father. Thank you, Father, for that glorious fellowship that we have with you. We commit it to you as done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and open up lines for commentary on tonight's teaching, starting with area code 770-823.
Amen. This is just a powerful word, man, something I really needed. And
amen.
I could tell, you know, for a long time, for years, actually, you know, lived in a lot of limitations, not recognizing that it was the word was the key to unlock so many doors for my life in it. And I see now that, you know, whether it's dealing with my kids or whether it's just walking in victory on the job or whatever I'm doing, the word is the primary key for every success that we walk in. So it was a profound word. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Amen. Glad to have you on the call. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
All right.
It's good to hear people get that way. That's just good. Go ahead, Brother Mike.
Area code 678-469.
Amen. Area code 678-469. You have the mic.
All right. Let's go with area code 770. 719-770-719, you have the mic.
Amen. Amen. What I would recommend, again, I hope you took notes and wrote down the scriptures that we were gleaning from today, because, you know, God is not a respecter of person. He will not keep information away from you just because you, not me. That's not the way he works. He wants everybody to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants us to walk in this. He's expecting the kingdoms of this world to become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And then he will reign forever because we now do what we're supposed to do in the earth. We're supposed to occupy till he comes. We're supposed to do business till he comes. We're supposed to have an impact until he shows up. We're not supposed to be the ones in hiding. We're supposed to be the ones in faith. So that's why it's good to go back and study and rehearse over and over and over. That's why he told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, or it shall always be in your mouth. Every time you see Joshua, the word was in his mouth. And he says that when you have this word in your mouth, when it becomes what you have as a conversation, a lifestyle, then he says, then you will observe to do what's written therein. You will make your way prosperous. You will find good success. And he says that when you do this, no, I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. There shall not be any man that shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Only be thou strong and be thou very courageous. That's what he told. He said, every place that the soles of your feet will go, I've already given it to you. That's the same thing Jesus did. He said, y'all go. The harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. I need people to go because I'm already established peace for you in that place. Whichever place you go into, if my peace is there, then you will be able to enjoy my peace. He's trying to get us to be the children of obedience, not the children of fret, worry, and disobedience. He doesn't want us to stay in lack. He wants us to go out and experience victory because he's already given it to us. The number for our victory is 3. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen, amen, Brother Mike.
All right, folks. I think that was a powerful word right there to go ahead and close us out on. Anything else, though, that you would like to add, Pastor Steve, before
that's
we do?
That's it, Brother Mike. Whew, that's it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right, folks. Well, we do thank you for tuning in and listening to us here live on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. If you've been blessed by the teachings that you've heard here, please sow a seed at www.livedeliverance.com. If you would also like to go back into the archives and hear some of the older or past teachings, you can do so as well on our Blog Talk page. Just go to www.blogtalk.com/livedeliverance, and there you shall be able to find the archives and listen to any of the broadcasts. With that being said, we would like to thank you for your continued support. Shalom, everyone. Have a good night. Have a blessed week. And if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here live next week on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone.
Amen. Shalom.